morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 9:07 on the clock on this November 16th, 2022. You have your host, James J., behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And we also have Craig Borden with us today. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, Craig. Thanks for bringing him, Terry.
Yeah, you bet. So,
you got some good friends.
I do. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed. Absolutely. So we, you know, kind of started out our morning with the Radiothon. We've heard from a few of our partner programs and the agencies that provide those programs. So far, just as if you're just waking up, we had the Boy Scouts here. We had Focus, which includes the food pantry, community meal site, and backpack program. And then two of our housing programs. North Central Community Action, which is eviction prevention and rental assistance. And then most just right before this was Family Center, and that is emergency shelter. And so now we have Craig with us. Craig is our 2022 campaign chair and has been out with me talking with folks about why to give to United Way. And I think that that's really a good place to start, is maybe asking Craig to share that message with, you know, anyone who might be listening. You know, why get involved as a donor? Why do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that opportunity. I think the interesting aspect about this program in particular is the fact that there are partner programs that are highlighted. And that, of course, is what the major impact of the United Way giving is. So when you're giving to the local United Way, you're not giving to a nameless national organization that you don't have a lot of control over or understanding of where your dollars or your donations are actually going. And it's an ability then to further direct that to community need. And you have a lot of latitude as a contributor to select various efforts or areas that you would like to fund in terms of your donation. And then you know, basically, hey, my money's being put to good use, and it's at my discretion and at my direction to a degree. And I don't really have to do much. I can rest assured that if I write a check for $500 or $50, that those dollars, by and large, are going to go to benefit local programs, which some of them have been highlighted here today. And, of course, being associated with the school district, we know that we operate programs that benefit from the United Way, as well as engage and interact with multiple programs that benefit from the United Way. So that's that massive impact. There is pretty much every community entity that I'm associated with professionally and personally has some kind of interaction or impact with the United Way. And that involves kids, that involves those that have issues with food or housing, that involves older adults, and pretty much cuts across every cross-section of demographics here in the area. And I'll emphasize again, the vast majority of those dollars are invested locally. They don't go anywhere else but Southwood and Adams County, and that is directed by our donors.
Craig, you're in a unique position being superintendent to really speak to a lot of the where this money, how it is so beneficial, how this impacts our schools, our youth. We've had people on focusing on different things that the United Way does, housing, food share, the Family Center, these different groups. One thing that they all have in common is the youth. They all affect kids one way or another. So being a superintendent, seeing this day to day, before you became the chairman this year, in coming to the area, were you able to see the impact right away from the United Way, even before you kind of were working behind the scenes with Terry and that?
Yeah, well, that's part of the narrative of kind of how I got engaged with the United Way in the first place, because one of the first people that I met was Terry and her husband, Randy. Hmm. And I liked Randy quite a bit, and I still had questions about Terry, of course.
I hear you.
And he still does. Fast forward like 5 years, and the questions
still
are still there.
Still there.
And I, of course, am kidding, but Terry and I chit-chatted. I think it was, if I recall correctly, it was like probably 30 or 45 minutes, and that wasn't the intent, right? Yeah. And I said, well, so, you know, tell me about the United Way. What are the things that you guys are engaged in? And it was the idea, and I didn't, of course, make a commitment that day, but I think it was probably the next or two days later. It was pretty close, but I thought upon going back to my office and engaging in other things, I was wondering, well, my gosh, that entity seems to have a broad community impact. And when you're new to an area, keep in mind that I took the position July 1st of 2017. I think I joined the United Way board in August of 2017.
Yep. Nice.
And in a two-month period, you don't really have an opportunity to really identify what community needs are. And of course,
right.
school's not in session, you're just learning staff and programs and operations and those sorts of things. But, and to be direct and answer your question, the answer is absolutely, you learn that very quickly. So selfishly, I thought, hey, if I can get involved with the United Way, it'll help me gain a better understanding of what kinds of programming is available to our community, who some partners can be that we're going to work with and will be working with as a school district, of course, including the United Way, but other partner programs as well. And having that knowledge and understanding from multiple levels will allow an opportunity to build stronger relationships and recognize how we can better meet community needs. And so I said, hey, I'd love to serve on your board if you have any spots open. And Terry basically said, well, joke's on you, spots on, you're on. So good luck. Yeah. And ever since then, I've been a member of that board and still know and feel with regular frequency because of the nature of our board meetings, because of the nature of the board, because Terry is who she is, because the United Way is what it is. That's at the forefront of pretty much every board meeting, leadership development sort of seminar the board does, board development seminar is a forefront of what the United Way is doing locally. And then we hear some things about other United Ways in, you know, our area or the state or the nation. But the focus really is about our local United Way and what programs we're benefiting. And from an education perspective, from a district perspective, one program that is hugely instrumental for many, many of our kids, more so now than in prior years, is the Backpacks program. Where kids are sent home with, you know, food for over the course of a weekend and sometimes the longer breaks that we have, because the number of people that are struggling with food security and housing issues are on the rise in our community. So over that time period, 2 of 5 years or 5.5 years, there has been absolute shifts in demographics and increase in needs during that 5-year time frame in Southwood and Adams County. There's no question in my mind. You can see it in data. Flat data in terms of economically disadvantaged populations or those that are considered homeless, to workforce availability and jobs in the area. I think people recognize and understand that these things are transpiring here as they are in many places throughout the state and the country.
It's another theme that I'm noticing too, you guys, is that not only are these things, you know, what the United Way does and how much they've impacted so many different things, Terry, but also that the need is not only still there, in some cases it's deeper, it's more than it was in years past. So while we greatly appreciate everybody that has donated this campaign and is thinking of donating, we want to be able to help the United Way do even more. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle either, that they can do more, they want to do more. They can do that with funding. They can do that with assistance. And that's where you guys come in, investing with the United Way. It is a donation. I know that's a typical word we use and everything. It's an investment. You are investing in your community. It's no different than, it's actually a better investment than going to the stock exchange or anything like that nowadays. Because you know right away, you see every day that you wake up and you walk into this community, you're going to see where that investment, what that impact. When you're watching kids going to school, when you're going to this grocery store and you're buying groceries from somebody who may have been impacted or helped from the United Way, it is no 6 degrees of separation. We're talking 1 or 2 degrees, if any, separation between what the United Way does in our community and the impact that it makes. We want to continue to do that. We want to be able to do more. So encourage you to donate and invest in your community, please. You can do that by calling 715-421-0390. You'll be connected right to the United Way, and encourage anybody to be able to make a donation doing that. Do want to remind people, since we haven't brought it up in a little bit, Terry, that to businesses out there, whether you are you have advertised with us before or not, we encourage you to do that. If you make a minimum donation of $500, WFHR will max that or counter that and double it. So you get $1,000 instead of just $500. This time of year with advertising, everybody wants to advertise. It's a great benefit. Great opportunity to cover what you're doing from now to the end of the year with the holidays and all that. And we really want to reach out to anybody out there, whether you're an old business, you've been with us many years, or you've always wanted to try things. Now is a perfect opportunity to do that. Not only do you get more bang for your buck, but you're showing that you support the United Way, that you support your community, you're putting into the community.
We also have our sweepstakes deadline, which is this Friday. This is for individual donors. So anybody who makes a donation of $1 a week, so $52 a year, as long as they make that donation by 4 p.m. on Friday, they qualify for one of five $1,000 cash prizes. And those are sponsored by local businesses, so it's not an individual's donation that's being used for that prize. These are sponsored by Aspirus Health, Gunderson Moundview Hospital and Clinics, Prevail Bank, Williams Plumbing and Heating, and Next Home Partners. And so they have each put forth $1,000 for us to be able to give out those prizes. And, you know, recognizing the need for new donors, recognizing the need for increased donation, and really just thinking about it in a probably in just a really simple way, right? Like sparing a dollar a week. It's pretty pretty easy for all of us to do, to come up with, and you can think about it a lot of different ways. You know, maybe you just have buy one less coffee that month, and that would cover your whole week. So, or I'm sorry, that would cover your whole month. So I think that you know, just thinking about it that way, and how can my contribution make a huge impact? And, you know, when Craig was talking about weekend backpacks, we heard from Dale earlier, in the Rapids School District, there's 100 backpacks going out every weekend, you know, supporting kids and families. And we, similar program in the Nakusa School District, and there's 35 backpacks that go out every weekend there. So it is significant, and the need is great. And, you know, having the ability to offer support to 29 programs is really important. But then there's also 10 other initiatives. I know that if anyone who was listening heard yesterday, Ben was from our team was presenting a portion of our ALICE report that's focused on veterans. And, you know, for us, ALICE is asset limited, income constrained, employed. So folks who are working but not quite, you know, maybe they're going, everything's good, moving along fine, but then one thing happens, a medical bill, a car breaks down, you know, something like that happens, or just even increased cost of living right now, and thinking that you're paying a little bit more for everything, but that little bit more has to come from somewhere. And so we have 32% of our community that is experiencing, you know, that sort of financial hardship. And that's pretty significant. You know, one in three that are really experiencing a hardship, and you know, and it's probably even maybe a little bit higher as, you know, as things change with the economy. Yeah. And I think that we just see some shifts, or maybe someone really literally does just need that one time help. You know, I just had this $500 bill pop up. I'm good. You know, we can make everything work financial stability wise, but I don't have $500 in savings to buy a new refrigerator because ours died, or whatever the case would be. So, you know, I think there's just that recognition of need in the community, and one way, a pretty effective way to help address those needs is by donating to United Way.
Mm-hmm. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll continue our United Way Radiothon here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Morning Show, where we have our United Way Radiothon going on right now. We have CEO of your United Way, Terry Johns, with us, and we have campaign chairman, Craig Bourne, with us, also superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System. Both of you, thank you very much for being here today. And we've been talking about the ways that the United Way impacts different organizations, different different parts of our community in that. And, Craig, one of the things that I think of first when I think of the United Way with our school systems, I think of the literacy programs that exist thanks to the United Way. Yeah. I know one of my favorite things every year is sending $30 to Dolly Parton directly. I go right to her. No, I don't go directly. I try.
She just got $100 million, so I'm not sure.
She didn't even notice it. Wouldn't even notice. But in her,
we'll take your $30, though.
Yeah. the Imagination Library programs like that exist, and for people like myself that didn't know about those until the United Way, they are such a blessing, such a gift to the community, things like that. When it comes to the focus on literacy in our schools, I think, like, especially for those of us who are removed from school, we're so far from it, we don't think of these things. I have a hard time believing that there's almost anything more important than building a kid's confidence in reading. Obviously, there's so many things that a kid gets from school, both on an academic level and on a personal level. But that core base, everything has to start somewhere, and them feeling more and more confident with reading, which is going to affect their lives, no matter what they do. I imagine that makes quite the impact.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Imagination Library is one portion of that, so that kids are having access to, you know, quality reading materials and books. And I know we think that based on how we were raised and maybe how we raised our own kids, that books, of course, are, you know, throughout your home. And if you don't have one that you want, you go buy it and that kind of thing. But we have circumstances where people don't have that capability, or in some cases might not think about it, right? But There's mounds and mounds of scientific evidence that indicate reading with a kid from early years and on has massive, massive impacts on that student's not only reading ability, but their overall academic success for their entire K-12 school career. And so absolutely that can't be underemphasized. And the other piece that I'd mention is the United Way coordinates reading mentors as well, mm-hmm. Which has individuals coming into our various schools to work with readers on a variety of things. And in some cases it is, they just read to one another. In other cases, it's a little bit more structured than that. But it's a win-win because, of course, we get kids working with community members and adults in the school setting that are not school staff. And I know for a fact that the adults that participate get a lot of joy out of spending some time with elementary kids, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we also have some wraparound with our Women United group. So, and those mentors, you're right. I do hear from mentors all the time, or I'll bump into them at, you know, Quick Trip or something. They're like, oh, and they have, you know, they tell me about the kids they read with. And that's really important. Some other wraparounds that we've been doing through Women United are grants specific to literacy supports. So we'll have classroom teachers that reach out and say, you know, hey, I could use $1,000 for, you know, these. Maybe it's wraparound books for your lowest end and your highest end readers. So they have all the tools that they need for the middle, but they don't necessarily have, and they might have it, but it might be from the past curriculum or something else that they picked up. But, you know, when you be that kid, right? And if you can use the stuff that looks like everybody else, it just might be a little bit different on the inside. You know, I think that that's really, really important. And we've been very fortunate as our group of Women United through United Way having the ability, and that their main fundraiser is Power of the Purse every year. But for them having the ability to offer those grants and to say, you know, hey, yes, we think that your second grade classroom is that important that, you know, we want to give you whatever it is, the $700 that you need for those tools around literacy. And, you know, is it something that's required for them to be successful? Probably not. Does it make their job easier and is it better for the kids? Maybe so. You know, mm-hmm. So I think that there's just some really great opportunities like that as well that come through United Way initiatives that aren't necessarily part of those 29 funded partner programs. It's more the initiatives that we as a staff and as a team are leading and able to facilitate on behalf of the community.
And you notice throughout this day, this conversation, whenever we do this, that they do this, this, and this. They hit on this section, and that's really insightful. That's really great they do that. And while Terry is very smart and very insightful, it doesn't just come from that kind of observance. It comes from surveys. It comes from communication with community members. You guys, you do this, and I was talking about this yesterday because it always just it hits me on this time of year. The United Way does such a great job of what do you need? We're going to hit on that, as opposed to where some nonprofits, and not so much in our community, but just in general, nationally, like, well, this is what we do. We hope it helps, you know, but this is it. This is all we do. The United Way focuses on different things. What does this specific community need? What is this specific interest for this community?
Historically, I would say that nonprofits move pretty slow. I mean, you know, decisions take longer because of the decision making happens, it just takes longer. And so that is one thing that we've really tried in the last, you know, I don't know, gosh, let's say 7-8 years to say, you know, we need to be a little more nimble. Like we need to be able to pivot when we see something happening. You know, our plan of work is what we call our agenda for change. And so our, you know, focusing in the community on education, financial stability, health, and then safety net service, which includes food and shelter that we've, you know, heard from this morning. So, you know, those are really the strategy areas. But then how we make impact in the community within those areas, I think that we are much better. We've better positioned ourselves now than we did a dozen years ago on how we're reacting to community need. Right. Now, some things we do intentionally. We pre-allocate to partner programs. So last spring, you know, we heard presentations and went out and visited programs, and some of those that we visited, all of those that we heard from already this morning. But we actually have them do their application for 2023 in early 2022. And you know, somewhat on purpose that we can say if our campaign, which we're doing now, if that comes in where we expect, then starting on January 1st, you will receive this much quarterly. And that's to help them plan and to, you know, have their budgets in place and know what their programming is going to look like versus the way we, you know, also could do it would be raise the funds now and then allocate them in January or February based on exactly what we raise. You know, we all like the stress and the unknown of you know, are we going to raise enough?
Right.
But you know, I think that the community does always come through. And, you know, right now, today, through yesterday's numbers, that's the last time I was in the system and looked, but, you know, we're sitting at about 58% of the campaign collected. And so we have some room. You know, we definitely have some work to do, but it's not unlike other years at this point in time. And with the sweepstakes deadline coming up on Friday, you know, I think that, you know, that'll help leverage some more donations to get us closer to that 100% mark so that we can keep those allocations in place. And so I just think that we've gotten better. It's not perfect and it's not ideal, but the ability to be a little bit more nimble in decision making, so that exactly what you said happens is that we can see a need in the community, we can identify what can be done, and maybe it's not even something that can be done by us. Maybe it's convening other partners. Maybe it's, hey, we got to get, you know, these five organizations around the table and we need to start talking. So sometimes it's just that, but sometimes it is funding a specific need that has arose.
We will take a quick commercial break, get to Melissa's news, and we'll come back and have some more conversation with some more guests. But I do want to thank, again, Craig, for being here. Appreciate the time. It's always good to see you.
You too. Thank you.
We'll be back with more of the United Way Radiothon here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:37 on the clock. Have your host, James, here. I'm joined by Terry Johns. And we are having our WFHR Radiothon. We're taking this right up to 10:30. Remind you that we'll be bleeding into Morning Magazine a little bit there, and then we will have a guest from Morning Magazine. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer will be with us, along with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, to record that. Looking forward to talking with Shane in a little bit, about an hour from now, a little around there. Terry, you brought another friend in.
I did bring another guest. I do want to, just before we go to that, though, I want to thank our friends at Econ Electric. They've made a $1,000 donation to the efforts, and so they get bells. There we go. So you know, thanks to Greg and the team over there for the support. Yeah. And then, you know, we look forward to hearing some Econ Electric advertising on the air here. So that'll be awesome. So
you guys are going to get really good work from us.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely. Thank you. So our next guest today is Kelly Borchardt. She is the executive director of Child Caring, which is one of the partner programs of our United Way. And so I'm going to ask Kelly to talk to us about the work that Child Caring does, and then, you know, eventually we'll get to how does United Way funding, you know, really impact that program. But if you want to give everybody just kind of an overview of what Child Caring does, and then, of course, the two programs that we help to fund.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Kelly.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. Thank you, James. Child Caring is a child care resource and referral agency that works in the central Wisconsin area, and we've been proud to be partnering with United Way of Southwood County for more years than I've actually been here, so a super long time.
She does look like she's 15,
yes,
so
she's
been there longer than that,
right.
It's not a new relationship. We've been, I think it's been a really long time. I mean,
I would say 25 plus
at least. I think we've been funny. This is probably one of our longest term partnerships.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So as a nonprofit organization in the area, we're helping families to help them find childcare, have program through United Way to help families pay for childcare. We support area childcare programs, getting them started in the process, keeping them up to date on continuing education and support. And, you know, we try to be a part of community task force and different networking events to help people understand the extreme importance of quality early childhood care and education. So in a nutshell, that's what we do.
And so around childcare, right? Because this is, we're seeing a lot of talk about childcare in the news. You know, we're just seeing childcare all over, and we know that there's a childcare shortage. And we recently had a center close, and probably changes within, you know, childcare that's offered in people's homes, you know, just all of that. So can you give us an idea of, you know, kind of what's happening in our community around childcare slots and, you know, what are people looking for? What can't they find? That kind of thing.
Yeah. So interestingly, in the Southwood County area, in the past decade, we've lost 63% of our childcare programs.
Whoa.
So in 2012, we had 87 regulated programs, and that includes family childcare providers, group child care centers, school-age programs, preschool programs. So all those programs make up our regulated child care, you know, database. Today, we have 32 regulated child care programs in this area. We went from over 1,800 regulated child care slots a decade ago to under 1,000 today. So we've lost 50% of the child care slots in the past decade as well. So it is extremely difficult for families who need child care. So, you know, we urge families who are looking for care to start, as soon as you know you're expecting a baby, you need to start looking for child care.
And isn't that, I mean...
I got a friend of mine there. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just to piggyback off of what you guys are talking about there and what Kelly just said, a couple friends of mine, they're going to be, they're excited. They're going to be welcoming their first child. They are, they're more focused on finding child care than naming their child. Like, they're going to get to that, of course, obviously, you know, hopefully within, you know, soon here. But that's the concern with young parents. That's the concern for families right now. It's like, yeah, we'll get to the name part, which is usually the one of the most exciting things about having a child is getting to name them and everything. They can't even focus on that right now because they're so, you know, just worked up about this. As a young mom, as a pregnant mother, she is struggling with this and struggling with sleep because it's stressing her out so much. And she hasn't even had the kid yet. Yeah. To speak to just what some of what Kelly and Terry are talking about here, the importance of this. And unfortunately, in our society, for many, many decades, this was, well, once my kids are out of school, I don't worry about this anymore. Kids will be fine. The kids are always going to be fine. They'll figure it out, that kind of thing. And, you know, we kick the can and we kick the can and we do this and this and this. And then all of a sudden a pandemic happens and then this and this. And we finally get to this point in 2022 where this is one of the biggest concerns we have in our society. And that's nationally, let alone if you look at us locally here. We went over these numbers with you with Ben yesterday with about the Alice report. As Terry mentioned, we see in the news all the time how big of a deal this is, how big of a topic this is. When it comes to all of those things, Kelly, I can't imagine what it would be like to do the work that you guys do without the United Way. I mean, this is all an issue with the help that we're getting and everything. Can't imagine what it'd be like without. So what does it mean, not just financially, but, you know, emotionally, the support that the United Way gives to this and put into it?
Absolutely. We have been extremely fortunate to be partnering with United Way and other organizations that help support education efforts as well as income efforts, because one of the programs that we are able to offer here as a result of United Way funding is our Good Start Grants program, which helps families pay for childcare. So we lack availability. Another extreme issue with childcare is how much it costs, right? And so I think that folks in the Southwood County area are lucky to have additional supports besides the minimal supports that we receive from the state of Wisconsin. So it allows us to give additional educational opportunities to the child care providers, things like abusive head trauma, right? Like, those are important pieces to help child care providers, helping them learn a little bit more about math and science. Those were some other pieces that we were able to offer to child care programs. So I think it's... you know, going above and beyond the minimal that we can offer, right? That's the support of United Way.
So families who can't find childcare, like legit, right? Like I have an infant. I'm going to have an infant, and I can't. What do they do?
What do they do? Some families are choosing not to go back to work. I think we hear from many moms who it's such an important issue for them that they're willing to be out of the workforce, earning, you know, little to no income because they struggle that much in finding.
And so what about, have you, and I know that you don't just, I mean, we're talking about obviously our area, but I know that you serve a larger area. And so I'm just curious, have you had or witnessed, are there employers that are getting involved? Like, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but I'm just, you know, are they getting involved with helping with childcare at all that you know of?
Yes, actually there has been a movement towards more private funding into childcare. So we have seen examples of businesses who might offer a stipend to their employees to help them pay for care. We've also had a lot of interest among school districts and businesses specifically who want to understand, hey, what would it take for us to offer childcare? I think, sadly, what happens is once you become more aware of what it takes,
then you give up.
Then you're like, wow, I didn't realize there was this much regulation in childcare.
But I think, you know, I'm just thinking about from the business aspect, right? Like let's say I've been a really great employee and now I'm really excited that I'm going to have a child, but I can't find care. And so then I'm going to stay home. You know, so it's seemingly advantageous to that company to help try to figure out childcare. What if I am someone who maybe would be willing to watch like two or three kids in my home? Is there support for those individuals or how could someone get started doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Child Caring regularly offers some startup informational sessions. They're easy to access because we do them sometimes during the day, sometimes in the evening. We're able to offer them virtually for people. And if you can't make those meetings, which are free, we can talk with you on the phone about that or do a Zoom video, whatever is most convenient for somebody that has these types of questions. And it's important, right? It's important as a business owner taking kids into your home to know, hey, what are the rules in Wisconsin about caring for kids? How much could I charge? You know, what kind of education do I need to do that? So we're absolutely there as a support system for people that want to talk about that.
Because seemingly there might be people who would have an interest, but they just have way more questions. You know what I mean? And then who do you ask the questions to? This is who you ask.
Right. I'd like to kind of piggyback off of that when we come back from break. Kelly, do you have a little bit of time to stick around for a little bit longer?
Yes.
Excellent. Sure. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. We'll continue with more of our United Way Radiothon here at WFHR coming up. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Radiothon. This is going to, it's been a lot of fun. We've got Terry John, CEO of United Way, here with us. We have Kelly from Child Care Inc. with us as well, and been having a great conversation. Appreciate the time from both of you and our audience for hanging out with us and listening to us throughout the whole show here. Got another half an hour of this. We'll take it to the top of the hour. Then we got another half an hour coming up of things. As we're speaking with Kelly, we have you in, Kel. One of the things I wanted to ask, from your perspective, what are the main, like, obviously there's a lot of concerns, a lot of needs when it comes to child caring. What would you say are the number one, number two needs, the biggest ones that where we can make a dent on this, we can really make a dent on this issue?
Right. So I appreciate that question, James. And where we're at right now in the field of child care is we don't have enough people working at childcare programs to be able to sustain them as viable businesses, right? We're talking about people who work every day that make $10 to $12 an hour with little to no benefits, and we're starting to it's being very impactful as a result of the pandemic, so it's forced people out of the profession. We have existing programs in this community that cannot open classrooms because they don't have the staffing to have them open. So I hear from directors that say, we have X many job openings, we don't have anyone applying, we have people who apply that don't show up for interviews. It's a terrible situation with the workforce.
So it's kind of, they're not necessarily full, they're at the capacity of what they can serve because of their workforce.
Right. Exactly. So when we talk about even offering like, oh, let's build a new center. That's not going to help the situation that we're currently in.
Right.
We can't even operate at full capacity within the programs that we have. So I would say workforce at child care centers, and there's extreme burnout that's happening as well, right? And we have a real lack of family child care providers as well. Mm. So that's when we talk about numbers decreasing, it's been a decrease of those people that are willing to do family childcare.
And can you just remind, you know, everyone, when we say family childcare provider, like how many kids would that be?
Yeah, so your typical regulated family provider would care for between 6 and 8 children. Because when you're not regulated and you're caring for just a few kids, you can care for 3 or fewer at one time and be within Wisconsin regulation.
Okay.
And when it comes to like getting people into that workforce, getting people, encouraging people to do that, there's no, you can't, you can only lead a horse to water. You can't make it drink, that kind of thing. So all we can do as a society, certainly, as I mentioned before, putting people into office that are going to take childcare seriously and do some, you know, work on it. but also encouraging just the young people, the people out there, the people that are getting into the workforce, to look into this industry, to, you know, highlight it more. I think about this all the time with certain jobs, looking at it from the youth's perspective when it comes to politicians or working, being on a board or something like that. And what encouragement do they have, the young people, to do these things if all they see in society is us tearing these people down? Not saying that we have to hold people accountable, but it also has to be a mixed bag, of, hey, we appreciate this person and what they're doing while also holding them accountable. This seems pretty easy to do. It doesn't seem like that difficult. When it comes to a job like this and a field like this, it's not that different. It's reminding people of how vital these people are to our society, our community, making sure that they're appreciated, that they know they're appreciated, how much we thank them. We've been, interestingly enough, and Kelly, you could probably speak to this better. We started the school year, we had an issue with school bus drivers. And around this area, in this community, I heard so many people coming out of the woodworks and talking about how this bus driver helped them, and they really appreciated this bus driver. And all of a sudden, we had this bus driver appreciation thing going on. And that's great. That's really cool to see. That's a underappreciated part of our society that we don't take very seriously. But it made me sit back and think, that's great. That's wonderful. Can we do that for our childcare people too? Can we, and we extend this just a little bit farther and show some appreciation to that? Who knows how many more people would be interested in getting into that field because of it? Obviously, better pay, benefits, those kind of things are going to greatly increase the workforce in that realm. There's only so much that can be done with that, and I don't know enough as far as how businesses or different organizations run their companies to tell them what to do with their money. But I can speak to our society and our encouragement and our support that we show to this field of being better about it. It tends to be the only time we talk about childcare is when something negative happens. We need to be better about that. We need to focus and really have more good stories, more times to highlight the great work that these individuals are doing. It ain't easy. it's not easy being a parent, let alone being in charge and helping other people's kids, help raise them and everything. You would think just on the surface, hey, that's something to appreciate, but we just don't do it enough. Hopefully, if we can get better about doing that as a society and, adding to things like the United Way, and that we show, hey, there's support system here. This is a great field to get into. We need more young people to do this.
There's also kind of that catch, you indicated earlier, the low wage. And so then, if you think about that, there's a lot of emotional tie to that work, right? Like you're connecting with kids. You might, mm-hmm. you might have some lesson planning you're doing. There's certifications and trainings and stuff. And if you can go work, let's say fast food, and make $3 more an hour, and you literally go to work and you leave work, right? Yep. You work while you're there, but you know what I mean? Like I feel like as a society, we've kind of set up this cycle of, our worst paid people are the people who are caring for our infants and for our seniors, like on the other end, like caregivers, right? And so I think that that's a challenge. That's not something we are going to solve today, of course, but I think that challenge is out there, like thinking about bigger than just Southwick County, mm-hmm. like how do we make sure that those roles are valued and compensated in a way that makes people want to do that, or are able to continue to doing that work. I mean, I'm guessing there's plenty that want to do it, but you also have to be able to sustain your own family or your own living situation. And so, I think that's certainly not without challenge. So, Kelly, tell us a little bit, kind of what's been, other than, we're kind of talking about childcare crisis, but what else is happening within your organization? Tell us about some of the great stuff going on.
Hopefully you have some things to say.
I think that, they do a good job. Just like your newsletter and some of your different things
Which
that come
I
out,
love.
Supporting childcare centers and being, I think that there's a lot of really great things that are going on within from your team, reaching out into the community.
Yeah, we have a couple of pretty exciting, I'll give you one example of a really neat program that we've been able to kick off called Lena Grow, which helps to support literacy and talk within childcare programs, right? Mm-hmm. So it's helping teachers with some exciting new things as far as that goes. So I think Lena Grow is one important new program that we're working on.
Well, and thinking about brain development, you know, you and I have had this conversation a million times, but that whole brain development from birth to, you know, birth to three, but then even three to six, you know, like how important that is.
Right. Yep.
And
right.
The other thing that I would highlight is there have been a lot of opportunities for us to be at community tables through some Dream Up grants that have been available in communities where it's allowing communities to come together to do strategic planning around childcare. So when I hear you talk about, you know, we need to be able to value teachers, we need to be able to value young children, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. until we decide as a society that we believe that they are our future and that they are important people, that's where I think we fall short. And just having opportunities to pull different sectors of people around the table, business people, government people, different organizations, mm-hmm. schools, colleges, those types of people, we're sitting around the table talking about how we can be different in this field, which is super exciting. I have been so busy lately just having conversations that you can't imagine.
You know that, but there is something to be said about getting people around the table and just at a minimum just understanding what everyone does. You know, breaking down the silos a little bit, and maybe there isn't some huge thing that comes out of it other than I'm a local business owner and now I really understand the challenge that you as an organization face, but that the challenges that my employees are facing, because maybe we don't have a work environment where that's shared, or, you know, maybe my employees just don't come to me with those kinds of things, but just that general understanding. And I think, you know, there's nobody better to be at the table than you, for sure, and, mm-hmm. and child caring and, you know, sharing that. And so, you know, I think we're very fortunate that our United Way gets to, you know, partner on these two programs. So we've got, you know, the Good Start grants to help with affordability of childcare, and then also the provider recruitment and retention, where, you know, we can be supporting those providers with the extra supports that they need. And so when you give to United Way, you're supporting both of those.
Kelly, we really greatly appreciate what you do in the community, you and your whole staff, and appreciate the time this morning. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about things we've talked about today, can they reach you?
Absolutely. We have a website, www.childcaring.org. We have one of those little features where you can talk mm-hmm, to us. Mm-hmm. You could also give our agency a call, 1-800-628-8534. I feel like we're some of the, you know, only organization that actually answers our phone Friday. You can call and you can talk to us. So,
appreciate that. Always good talking with you, Kelly. Take care, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Stick around, everybody. Got another half an hour of the United Way Radiothon here happening at WFHR, locally grown radio.